So, church, can we welcome our online family from Jasper, Arab, and all of the above? Man, we were so blessed by the Fireworks Festival this year. That is really probably our favorite event that we do each and every single year, just because, man, we get to light up the sky and do something for our communities for a night. And so, once again, we're super, super thankful for everybody that served on the DC Connect team during that night. And then, hey, Pastor Andy is not here today, as you can tell, okay? He's got a slightly better looking spiritual son up here to preach to you. You didn't laugh at that, so that means that you don't believe it. Okay, cool. And no, but he's actually campus hopping today. He went to go be with our Jasper family and preach to those guys. And so he wanted to get out and see our extended family. In fact, we would encourage you to do that. And if you've never checked out another Desperation Church campus, maybe you don't know this, we're one church at three different locations in Jasper and Arab. We would encourage you, go check them out. But we are going to dive into part two, the second week of this series called Caves and Kingdoms. And I love that title. And I love the portion of scripture that we're in. We're talking about, of course, King David. If you didn't hear the message last week, listen to me. You've got to go to desperationchurch.tv and you've got to check out the sermon from last week. Pastor Andy, I loved it so much. One of my favorite lines is that he said that God looks at your potential, not at where you're at right now. So God sees you for who you are supposed to be. So if you haven't checked out that message, check it out. He was talking about David and when he was anointed to be king of Israel. He was just a shepherd boy. Samuel had went to call all of the sons of Jesse in, and all of the sons of Jesse came in except for one, and that was David. He was out in the fields just tending to some sheep. Okay, that's my best sheep voice right there. He was just hanging out with the sheep, and then Samuel said, hey, you got another one out there. Won't you bring him on in? And then David comes in, of course, and we see this awesome picture that scripture portrays in 1 Samuel chapter 16, where he pours the oil of anointing that represents the Spirit of God on David. And then we're going to catch up today, and we're going to talk about really what happens after he gets anointed. So we're going to talk about anointing and appointing. But if you got your Bibles today, why don't you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 13. But before I read this scripture, I got to do something that I've always promised I would do anytime I get this platform. I would give honor where it is due. And man, that is to our lead pastor, Pastor Andy. And I'm thankful anytime I get to come up and present the gospel to people, and especially to this congregation. You know why this congregation? Because y'all talk back to me. Y'all always say amen. You say preach it, and you laugh at jokes, okay? You make me feel a little bit more secure because I got these little ears, okay? And you always laugh at that joke, and I do it every time, but I'm thankful that PA gives me this opportunity. So why don't you do this? Why don't you give it up for your lead pastor, woo! Pastor Andy. Love him. 1 Samuel 16, and my production crew, if I can get a clock back there, because I don't want to keep these guys till about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 13, it says, so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and he anointed. Everybody say anointed. Well, it's going to be a big one. He said, anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully. Now you got to say this one. Come on. Powerfully. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully. There's some translations that say that the Spirit of God came with power, all right? So the Spirit of God came powerfully upon David from that day. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Hey, I'm going to pray for us real quick, and then we're going to dive into this message that we have entitled, Be Faithful in Your Field. In fact, look at someone next to you and say, be faithful in your field. Come on, you're going to be talking to me today. You're going to be talking to other people. We're just going to have a conversation. It's not going to be one guy up here preaching, okay? Let me pray for us, and we'll get going. We'll dive in, okay? God, we love you so much. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. God, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit, that same Spirit, God, that came powerfully upon David, God, would come powerfully in this room, Jesus. Father, that you would heal, God, that you would provide, God, that you would protect, God, and that you would give us power, God, to leave these doors, God, not to leave the same person that we are right now, from myself to everybody that is sitting in every single seat, Jesus. Father, help us, Jesus, not to be the same person, God, but to move and grow and go into the world, Father, where you have called us to be the people that you've called us to be. God, we love you so much. We praise you. And everybody said, amen. So there's about three things in life that are guaranteed, okay? There's death, taxes, in tears, okay? This is gonna be the most life-giving message you've ever heard in your life, right? I didn't know we were gonna talk about death, taxes, and tears, but I think I'm gonna speak a little bit more to my women right here, because guys, you're not gonna admit it, but you fall into this category too. But there are some days in your life, they may come randomly throughout the years, they could come in a series of weeks, it could just be a cluster of tears, okay? But there's times in your life where you just know, you feel it coming on, and you know this, I'm about to cry. You know what I'm talking about? There was a time in my life that I remember vividly. I was a student at UAB, go Blazers, okay? We're about to get a stadium and we're gonna win the national championship in 3028, all right? But I was at UAB and I was sitting in the middle of class and I could just like you know it. You feel it coming on. And how do you really know it? It's because your face starts to contort just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's where you do that thing where your eyes are just kind of like this. Your nose starts like moving just a little bit, and you kind of look like Michael Jackson in Thriller, right? And you don't, got him, sniped him right there on the front row, Ivan. You kind of look like it, you know what I'm saying? And you don't want people to see you because you know it, because them eyes start to gloss over just a little bit. In fact, you kind of look like a little bit like a little baby. And I gotta give you a disclaimer before I show you this video, okay? Because this was me on that day at UAB. Now I was playing with my son and he laughs. He has like this belly laugh, and I had him in my lap and I was making him giggle. So I had my phone out because my wife wants me to send pictures and videos all day long. I have no space on my phone because of my wife. And my son, my 6-month-old son, was in my lap and he was laughing. So I was like, well, Michelle would love this, but this is what the laugh turned into. Guys, if you can roll this video up on the screen for me.
Now you have
too much blood. That's a huge pressure in my. He was just laughing at me. What do you say?
Freeze frame. That's, y'all aren't gonna listen to anything I say. I was playing peekaboo with a demon voice. I don't know. But you kind of know. This is what my son Jax does right before and while he is crying. He makes that face right there. Please take that picture off the screen as soon as you possibly can. All right. As you make that face right there. And I was in the middle of class one day. And I'm hoping you can hang with me throughout this story, but I was in the middle of class one day, I was making that face like, man, I'm about to cry, just like Jax was right there. And so as soon as class was over, I was like, I gotta get out, because I'm a dude and people can't see dudes cry. You know what I'm saying? I see some of you guys that converge. You go like hide over in the corner, but the Holy Spirit's kind of hitting you a little bit. And you're like, ain't nothing wrong with me. You got your hat down to here. You know what I'm saying? Right? We wear hats in church at Desperation Church because you cry. Okay. But you can't let other guys see you cry. So here was the thing though, I didn't have like the parking pass. I parked like back in the hood in downtown Birmingham because I couldn't afford a parking pass. So I had to like walk all while I'm making this weird face, and like people are just kind of looking at me as I'm walking downtown Birmingham, and I parked back, and it was back in the Glen Iris district, and I'll never forget this. I go and I sit in my car and I unleashed this cry. Like, it wasn't just any type of cry. It was one of those cries, like I was crying so hard, like we're like you're sucking up all the oxygen. But I'll never forget this. And like, you know this is a good cry. I looked in the rearview mirror to see how hard that I was crying. You ladies have done that before. You know, you're like, okay, yeah, this is a good one. This is a really good cry, you know? And I'm looking in the rearview mirror, but I'll never forget it. I had a moment with God right there because I didn't really know what was going on. I was just, all I know is that I'm crying. And here was the thing. Here's where I was at in life. I'd just given my life to Jesus. I was a college student at UAB. I was in a season where I wanted to, it was multiple majors, but I was majoring in broadcasting. I wanted to go into broadcasting. I wanted to be on the radio, somebody, okay? I didn't want no one to see my face and talk. I just wanted to talk, okay? But I was in broadcasting and I was having a good time. I was making good grades. I liked my classes. I liked my people. I was the connection card guy at our church. I'll tell you a little bit more about that later on in the message. But there was just something that was off. inside of me. And I'll never forget saying these words right here. I was sitting in my car with tears running down my face. And I said, God, you know this is not where I'm supposed to be. And you know this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Can you help me? And I cried and I cried and I cried. And here's what I knew in that moment. God was calling me into something. I didn't know it would look quite like this. I knew that God was calling me into some form of ministry. Really, honestly, I wanted to be in broadcasting and an entrepreneur. I wanted to open up businesses and do some other things. But I knew God was, he was doing something on the inside of me that I really just couldn't even explain in that moment. Now looking back, I know it's just a call of God, just a touch of God on my life, wanting me to do something and to pursue a calling. And here's what you would think would happen in that moment. Well, make this story just even better. That an angel of the Lord showed up in my passenger seat of my 2001 silver Altima that only had one rear view mirror or side view mirror, okay, because I ran into something and I couldn't afford to put another one on. You would think angel of the Lord just showed up right there and said, Travis, call Andy Heiss and he's going to give you a job and you're going to walk fully into your calling. You know what I did? I went back to class. Right there, God had called me in that moment to do what I'm currently doing right now. And my next step, I went back to the classes that I was already taking. I didn't walk straight into my purpose. And here's what I want to let you know today. I would encourage you, please take notes, okay? Here's what I would let you know is that God's promise is a process. It takes some time. God wants to take you through a few things. In fact, some of you are in a season where God's taking you through some things and you don't even quite understand it. But God's got something for your life. He's got a call on your life. And one of the biggest reasons, the biggest reason why I'm here on this earth, I really fully believe it. And I try to practice this with our young people as much as I can. It is so much fun not to come up here and preach, but to take the young people that we get to work with and just show them the call of God on their life. And when they discover it, there is nothing better to me. And that's really honestly what I live all of my life doing. And really honestly, what I want to do here today is, man, I just want to expose God's promise in your life or let you begin the process of discovering what that is in your life. Look at someone next to you and say, God's got a promise for your life. Now look, here's the thing. I went back to class that day and I'm going to roll into our first point right here. If we can throw our first point up is that number one, David went back to the field. Now I want to paint you the picture of 1 Samuel chapter 16. David shows up. He's been out in the field. Remember, he was rejected by his brothers. We even see that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He had been really rejected by his father because his father had called all of these brothers in, yet he left David out in the field, thus letting him know that you are not qualified to be anointed as king of God's chosen people. But David shows up. He pours the oil on him and is the representation of the anointing of God. Now, some of you come in here, maybe you've came in here the last 2 weeks and you've heard this word, anointing. Okay. And I'm gonna give you a little bit of Bible knowledge right here. Let me let you know where anointing comes from. Okay. When they would pour that oil, what anointing means is just literally the hand of God, the protection of God, meaning God is with you. It was the representation of the Holy Spirit, which guess what? When we say yes to Jesus, we all have that today. What it basically meant was it was actually symbolic because they would take that same oil and they would pour it on sheep. They would pour it right behind their neck and on their heads. Because here's what would happen. There's bugs, and they're probably still out there today. These bugs would get up under the skin and they would crawl up into the sheep's head and literally make them go crazy. So what that oil was, it was a layer of protection over that sheep and over its mind. How many of you know if you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, there are thoughts, there are little bitty lies, there are little bitty half-truths that crawl into your head, right? And will literally make you go crazy. But the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, the protection of God is that covering over our lives, okay? So we're symbolic. We're the same. We have the same symbolic nature in our lives today. The Holy Spirit covers us. We are protected. Not only that, this is what it was symbolic of too. It was God's power on David's life. Here's what I want to let you know today, that the Holy Spirit has given you power. The Holy Spirit has given you authority to do things that are not of this world. We don't want to be a church at Desperation Church that walks in just religion. That's not us. We want to be a church, a Desperation Church, that prays so much that we see the power of God, not only inside of our church, not only inside of our services, but inside our homes, inside our schools, inside our workplace. And here's what God is calling you to do. Put that point back up there for me. God is calling you to go back to your field. David is anointed as king. He has been declared king of Israel. I don't know if we understand how important, how vital this is. David's been called king of Israel, and his next step, his next response Go back and do what you were doing. It doesn't really make sense. That's not how we would write a movie script, is it? That's not how we would write the book of David. But that's exactly how God paints this picture right here. Maybe you're sitting in here today and you're saying, man, God is, I know God's got something for me in my life. I know there's some sort of dream inside my life. I know there's some sort of promise from God inside my life. I want to let you know your next step. Go back to your field. Go back to your school. Go back to your family. Go back to your workplace, because God wants to find you in your field. There's a lot of people out there that believe, man, I can just walk straight into what I'm supposed to be doing. But a promise takes process. Look, I want to let you know this. Every one of you are anointed by God. We just said that. In fact, look at someone next to you and say, you are so anointed. You are so anointed, right? Say it with some sass. Come on, you're so anointed. Right? We're all anointed by God, but there's a difference between anointing and appointing, right? All of us have the anointing of God, but there are times in our lives where God appoints us into places. I want you to make this choice today in a declaration, and that I'm not just going to sit in my field, that I'm going to work in my field. I'm going to do everything I can to take care of my field. Maybe you have a family in here. Maybe you're a father in this place. You are anointed by God to raise your children. Maybe you're a mother in this place. You are anointed by God to raise your sons and your daughters. Maybe you are a child in this place. You are anointed right now to listen to your parents, because that's the field that you got right now. And we can learn a lot even from that story. Maybe you're a student in here. You are anointed by God to be the youth pastor of your school. You are anointed by God to do great things right now. You don't have to have a platform and you don't have to have a microphone to do it. God has anointed you right now. And look, man, I was praying this morning, and there is a difference whenever, you know, you feel like you've just got something that's going to be good and easy to preach. And I didn't feel that this morning. What I did feel is that God sent me on an assignment for somebody in this room. I don't know if it's one person. I don't know if it's 100 people. I don't know who it is. But I want to let you know this, and if we could put it up on the screen. Your best messages will always come in your meantime moments. And God just spoke that to me when we were praying this morning, getting ready for this service, is here's what happened with David. David is anointed king of Israel, and then he goes back to this field. Now, can you imagine this? And just leave this phrase up here on the screen for me. Can you imagine this? He knows that he is the king of Israel, that he's been anointed to do so. Can you imagine how much that would mess with your mind? Man, I know I'm supposed to be doing this, but I'm just taking care of these sheep. I'm just shepherding these sheep. He was stuck in this meantime. And I believe there's somebody here today, you are stuck in this meantime. It's that place in between where you feel stuck between what God said and where you're supposed to be. And you can't understand why you're not getting there. But here's what we know. Or what we can really assume is that most scholars believe that a lot of the Psalms were written while David was out in those fields. In fact, if you wanna feel a little bit better about yourself, maybe you're going up and down through the ebbs of emotions and depressions and anxiety and everything else, go read Psalm 13. David starts off the Psalm and he says, "Oh God, how long are you gonna forget about me? Forever?" And then he goes on and on. It's up and down. It's like an emotional roller coaster, but he comes back to, "But I will trust in your unfailing love." If you want to know a little bit more about somebody that struggled with this emotional roller coaster, go read the Psalms. Now, what we can assume is that David wrote those Psalms in his meantime moments. I want you to transition your mindset just a little bit for anybody in here that's stuck in the meantime, that you feel like you're stuck in the middle of life right now. Transition that mindset to, you know what, God? Thank you that you got me in the middle of this trial right now. God, thank you. God, that my mind is a little bit off right now, God, but I'm going to set my mind towards you. I'm going to take captive these thoughts. I'm not going to be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of my mind. Maybe you're in the middle of some chaos inside your family right now. Here's what I would say. Thank God for where you're at right now, because God is going to use you, anoint you, and appoint you to lead your family through this trial. But you got to trust in the power of God. I love it when you clap. That meantime is where your greatest messages will come from. That meantime is where God wants to use you the most. That meantime is where David's story was really made. And our second point is this, is that David was faithful in the field that he was in. And I want to let you know that David had multiple fields. Check this out. It wasn't just a field of shepherding sheep. Then God calls him into multiple what looks like stages. It says, now the Spirit of the Lord had left Saul, who was the current king of Israel. And the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression and fear. Some of Saul's servants said to him, a tormenting spirit from God is troubling you. Let us find a good musician to play the harp. Whenever the tormenting spirit troubles you, he will be soothing music, and you will soon be well again. All right, Saul said, find me someone who plays well and bring them here. One of the servants said to Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem is a talented harp player. Not only that, he's a brave warrior, a man of war, and of good judgment. And I want to let you know, I want to pause right there. Those characteristics and that reputation, that wasn't made in front of people. That's character that people are talking about right there, that these men are talking about. Your character is made in the quiet. Your character is made in the field. Your character is made when nobody is looking. It says, Jesse responded by sending David to Saul along with a young goat and a donkey loaded with bread and wineskins full of wine. So David went to Saul and began serving him. Saul loved David very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent a word to Jesse asking, please let David remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. And whenever the tormenting spirit from God troubled Saul, David would play the harp. Then Saul would feel better and the tormenting spirit would go away. Here's what I want to let you know, is if you're faithful what's in your hand, God will give you what's in your heart. If you're faithful what you have right now, God's going to give you what he put inside of you. The dream that's inside of you, the promise that's inside of you, the calling of God that's inside of you wasn't put there by you. It was put there by God. He wants you to get to that place, but you got to understand where David was at right here, and you got to understand where you're at in your current season, in your current situation. David has been anointed king. He goes back to the sheep. He becomes a man of great character. And then what happens? The kingdom that he was supposed to take over, he served the kingship that was currently over that kingdom. He served the man that he was supposed to be one day. It almost doesn't make sense, does it? But we almost see with David is that David had this different mindset about him. It almost seems like he's just a little bit off. When you go read his Psalms and you go read through his life, I mean, anybody that's gonna stand up in front of a 9-foot-tall giant and say, hey, I'm about to take your head off, he's gotta be just a little bit off, just a little bit, right? But sometimes, man, whenever we tap into the Spirit of God, some people are gonna look at you and say, man, they're just a little bit off. I don't know why they are so happy right now when their life around them is full of chaos. Or they're going through this trial or this situation. Or man, they've been brought up in a really bad family, but man, they just believe God's got something for them and they're gonna walk in the promise of it. It seems a little bit off to the world, but it seems right to God. So David goes to the man that and serves the king of whose place he's gonna take one day. Why? Because he understands and he knows that the promise of God is a process. And if I'm just faithful with what he's given me, if I'm faithful with the field that he's given me, God's gonna give me what's inside my heart. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, what is my field? And I would tell you this, is God's given you one right where you're at. Not only in your home, not only in your school, not only in your family. He's given you one with your church family. He's given you a field right here at this church, a place for you to serve. That's why we believe so much in teamwork. You know, we say terms all the time like teamwork makes the dream work, and come be a part of the Connect team. It takes a team to build this vision here. And we get up here and we say this week after week after week after week, and you're like, all right, they just want me to come and they want me to serve. No, because here's what we know. It's just like this, is that David had to go to another level before God showed him what his call in life is. Maybe you're searching through life, trying to figure out what the meaning of your life is. I'm gonna go ahead and give it to you. It's for you to give your life away. David had to learn how to serve before he could be king. Because when we read this scripture right here, you can go read Mark 10:45. It says, for the Son of Man came to be served, not to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. Earlier in that verse in Mark 10, he talks about the lordship of all the officials and how they lord their authority over people. But he says, no, the greatest leaders are the ones who serve. David understood something because he had tapped into heaven. He said, no, if I want to be the greatest king Israel's ever had, I got to serve the king that it's currently got. Maybe you've got authority inside your life that you're disagreeing with, or you're not for. Here's what I would ask you to do. I would ask you to just ask God. Check your heart, check your motives on that. Because if you're just trying to get to a hustle and bustle and get to the place where you feel like you are supposed to be, let God open your doors. Your doors were never meant to be kicked open. God was supposed to open them for you. Just be faithful with what you've been given, and God will give you what's in your heart. You know, it's funny. I get youth pastors sometimes coming to me and talking like, man, I want to do this big conference. I want to do this. And my question for them is, how much are you in high school right now? Are you leading a small group right now? Are you leading few? Because if God can trust you with few, he can trust you with many. I mean, here's what I would ask you. Man, maybe you want to do something great for God. Maybe you feel like God's stirring something inside of you. I would ask you, what's in your hand right now that you can be faithful with? What do you have right now inside of you, inside your life, inside your family, inside your home, inside your school that you can do and be faithful with to watch God do incredible things? I even think about my own life. Man, I never really pictured a microphone being in my hands. You want to know a funny story? I got stage fright really bad, okay? I have a terrible fear of public speaking. And it was just funny that God would call me into that. I always wanted to be the connection card guy. During that same season I was telling you about at UAB, man, I was working a job where I had to get up super early in the morning. It taught me a ton of discipline. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But I would go to school, I would go back to work, and then on Wednesday nights, I would drive from work and I would get to the service late. Usually, as the service was about to end and they were closing up shop, I would get all these connection cards and I would try and find all the first-time guests. I had like a first-time guest radar. Like, it was crazy. I could smell them from a mile away. I'd be like, yes, he is. And I was single at the time. I'd say, yeah, she's definitely a first-time guest. She was a first-time guest every week, too. Her name was Michelle, okay? And like, what's up, girl? You're a VIP to me. And anyways. But here's what I would do. Someone looked at me one day and said, man, hey, you can talk to people? And I was like, yeah, I can talk to people. Why don't you do this? Just be our connection card guy. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I didn't know that you could just be given an opportunity to serve inside the church. It's the highest honor that I could ever be given. And I would take connection cards, man. I would just go around to people. And then I would text them throughout the week. And I'd just be like, yo, man, are you coming to youth tonight? Are you coming to our service tonight? We want to get you there. And I was just building the church. And I didn't even really know it. But here's what I knew. I knew that I just wanted to serve God. I want to do anything I could to please him, to please his spirit. And then I noticed this, that I was the most fulfilled when I gave my life away. But here's what's crazy about it. Here's what's crazy is that if I would have known there would have been an easy door open, like Connect Class and the Connect team, I'd have just hopped on board because I knew and I'd tapped onto something that, man, I was so fulfilled whenever I gave my life away. And then God just slowly started raising me up and raising me up and raising me up. And I started leading a small group of ninth grade guys at my house. Y'all should pray for me from those days. I'm a little bit scarred, okay? But I led a small group and I didn't even know a whole lot about the scripture. I knew I loved Jesus and I wanted to find out everything I could about him just so I could feed these ninth grade boys. And then, man, next thing I know, Andy Haas gives me a phone call one day and says, boy, you know, you come be our youth pastor? We have a little bit of a different hiring process now, okay? There's some interviews. I'm thankful because I wouldn't have made it through. I was like, y'all do a background check? Said that after that first paycheck, okay? And but here's what I've discovered looking back on 8 years of following Christ is, man, if I'm just faithful what I have in my hand, if I'm faithful what's in my hand, God will give me what's in my heart. And maybe you're here today and you've got something in your hand. You're sitting in it. The church. This church is in your hand, and we want to do everything we can to resource you. I've watched so many stories. I can tell you countless, but I'm only going to tell you a few of people that were just faithful what they did here at this church. Jenny Helton being one of them. She was somebody that would tell you, man, I was just in a season of life. I didn't know God was setting me up for what I was supposed to be doing today. Now she runs a college, but she was working at a college. She was just administrating. She was helping people and she was recruiting. And God just slowly, she comes and jumps on the Connect team. She starts serving in this church and God just starts raising her up. And now we have people that will, listen to me, look at me in the eyes. They will go out and change this world because she said yes to God. You should give Jenny a hand. But it's just stories like that. I can think of people like Brianna Goodwin, who just came through our Leadership U program. And she was just a student, just like anybody else. And God just started raising her up and raising her up and raising her up. And now she's leading the LU program, right? I think of people like Jay Kennedy. Yeah, you should bring a hand too. There's so many countless people. And maybe you're in a season right now where you feel like, you know what? Like what I'm going through right now is pointless. God has a point to everything that he does. He can redeem everything that you're in right now, and God doesn't waste anything, especially your life. Keep on clapping. I like it. God does not waste anything, especially the lives that he uses. I remember thinking the same thing, man. After God had called me on that day when I was crying in my Nissan Altima, I was a fitness trainer. I was teaching boot camps in Birmingham. It was awesome. I would make people do push-ups, and they would pay me for it. It was great. And I would do all these boot camps, but I had this incredible boss. His name is Roman McDonald. Roman, I don't know if you're going to watch this, man, but I learned so much about ministry inside your boot camps and inside your business. He was an incredible entrepreneur. He taught me so much about leadership. He would hand me these leadership books and just teach me and tell me how to run his business and talk to people. And I tell people all the time that I learned so much about doing ministry, and I learned so much about changing people's lives when I was working in the world just like everybody else. When I was working in a job just like you got. You want God to use you? Let him use you right where you're at. Go back to your field. And then our last point is this right here. And I want you to hear this. And man, I'm going to give a disclaimer on this one. Here's my goal. I'm going to go through this point, and I'm just going to put the ball on the tee. Because Pastor Andy's going to come in next week, and he's going to follow this thing up. And it's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. And you're not going to want to miss next week because it's going to be a great and incredible message. Number three is this. David's greatest opportunity came through the smallest act of service. In fact, we can show you. It's a story that you've all heard about. It says, now David, the son of a man named Jesse, the Ephraite from Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at the time, and he had 8 sons. Jesse's 3 oldest sons, Eliab, I'm not going to name those guys, had already joined Saul's army. Don't front like you don't do that either whenever you read scripture. I always just mumble. I'm just like, I'm praying in tongues, okay? Saul's army to fight the Philistines. David was the youngest son of the 3 oldest brothers that stayed with Saul's army. But David went back and forth so that he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. Do you hear that? That he went back and forth between a king and his father. He went back and forth between his authorities, and he sat there in his field until God said, it's your time. He goes on to say, one day Jesse said to David, take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they're doing. David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army in the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts of battle cries. Check this. Soon the Israelite and the Philistine forces stood facing each other, an army against the ranks to greet the brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine, the champion from Gath, he comes with a title. The champion from Gath came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard the shouts of his usual taunts to the army of Israel. Next week, we're going to be talking about David. But if you've been around church culture long enough, really, if you've been around culture long enough, you know the story of what happens right here. Is that David hears the voice of somebody. He didn't care that he was 9 foot tall. He didn't care that he was from the Philistines. He didn't care that he was a bad dude. He knew somebody had been talking about his God. How does he know? And why does this hurt so bad? Because he had spent time in a field just talking to God. See, whenever somebody talks about somebody that you're close to, you're going to do something about it, right? You talk about my wife, bro, I'm not a fighter. I'm more of a lover, but I'll take you out. This is how David feels in this moment right here. Next thing we know, a head is cut off and the Philistine army is running because somebody was bold enough. And really, David wasn't looking to be a warrior in that moment. He was just looking to be a son because somebody was talking about his dad. Somebody was talking about the one that he is close to. Somebody was talking about the one that had redeemed him. Somebody was talking about the one that had anointed him. And somebody was talking about the one that was going to appoint him. And maybe you're in a season right now, maybe you're in that meantime moment where you feel like your life is just wasting away. and you're in a place where you feel like God can't use you and won't use you and isn't using you, and what I would tell you is that your greatest opportunity can come through the smallest act of service. I was just a connection card guy. I was just a small group leader. I'm not making a lot about myself, but that's just kind of how it works. Whenever you're faithful what's in your hand, God will just give you what's inside your heart. Whenever you're faithful with the small things, God will put you in charge of much. So I would ask you this, what has God put in your hand? What field are you sitting in right now? Because at some point, God's going to give you the opportunity for your life, for your name, and for God's glory to be marked through what you do. Oh, everybody, look at me in the eyes. Look at me in the eyes. God chose you. God chose you. God chose you for this generation. God chose you for this time. God chose you for your family. God chose you for your school. God chose you. I'm not making light of Scripture, but He didn't put Moses in the chair that you're in. He didn't put Noah in the chair that you're in. He didn't put Paul in the chair that you're in. He put you. Peter the apostle doesn't raise your kids because he couldn't. Only you can. God chose you. Be faithful with what's in your hand, and God will give you with what's in your heart. There's one more thing, is that we have a God who is faithful with us. So much so that He was so in love that He sent His only Son. Whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know the reason why we can have that everlasting life? Is because Jesus came to this earth. He was faithful with His field for 30 years. He was a carpenter. He was an average Joe, just like us. He knew He was a God. He knew He had all the potential, but He waited until His appointing. And at His appointing, He goes through the wilderness, and then He goes on to do miracles where blind people would see again, deaf people would hear, crippled people would get up and walk again, and it was incredible, and it was amazing, and it was stirring up so many things all across the earth. There was a lot of chatter going on, but there was one miracle that He would do. It was so much greater than all of these, and one of my favorite pieces of Scripture is Luke chapter 22. Jesus is sitting in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says that He is sweating drops of blood. It says, meantime moment. It's in the meantime from His miracles to the moment that would make Him and make us. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sweating drops of blood. In fact, He even says this to God. He says, God, if it be Your will, let this cup pass from me. And basically what He was saying, God, if it's cool with You, can you just make this go away? Maybe you're in a season where you feel just like Jesus did in that moment. But I want to let you know, moments make memories, but tough decisions create legacies. Maybe you're in here today and you're just waiting on this moment from God. Maybe you're in this meantime moment. God, I just need a moment with You. And moments are good. Don't get me wrong. But you have to make the choice today. I'm going to press on. I'm going to press through. I'm going to get through this thing. I'm going to get through this trial. I'm going to raise my kids. My daughter is going to come back to God. I'm going to change my workplace. I'm going to be the pastor of my school, and I'm going to change the world. So God, if You can choose the cross, I can choose life. If You're going to raise from the dead, I'm going to raise people from the dead. And I'm going to make something of this life. And in that meantime moment, He chose to press on, and He chose to press through where He would hang on a cross. And on that cross, He would die for your sin, my sin, all of our sin, past, present, and future. There's another meantime moment. There's 3 days of silence. But the meantime doesn't last forever. You got to hear me on this. Your meantime's not going to last forever. Because Jesus rose from the grave. And you can rise from your situation. You can rise up out of the ashes. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you've been with. God can use you. Why? Because He had the power to defeat death. And He can defeat all the death in your life if you trust in Him. Let's pray. God, I pray we would trust You. God, I pray for anybody that's in the meantime right now, Jesus. God, they wouldn't put their hope, Father, in anything of this world, God, because this world just returns void, Jesus. God, You are the only one that can sustain, God, and You are the only one that can bring life, Jesus, so much so, God, that You would come to this earth, Lord, raise people from the dead. Choose death Yourself, God, but rise again to show us and let us know, God, even if we feel like our dreams are dead, our passions are dead, and our promises are dead, they are not with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just declare that over everybody right now. with no one looking around, if you're sitting in here today, and you would say, Travis, I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about, or I feel far from this God, and I want to be close to him like David was in that field. Here's the first way that you can be faithful with your field, is just talk to him. Have a conversation with him. Pray to him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says to believe in your heart, but to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. So why don't we begin there? You can go something like this. You can say, Jesus, I need you. God, I love you. Lord, I put my trust in you. God, I give you my heart today. Lord, I repent and I turn from my sin. I repent and I turn from my ways. And God, I give my life to you. And here's what I want to do with nobody looking around. If you're sitting in here today and you'd be willing to say, Travis, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. I declare it today. My life belongs to God. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so I can see you really quick? Amen. Awesome. I see a few over here. Amen. Come on. Thank you for being bold. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for the ones that raised your hand. Here's what I would encourage you to do. And we're a church that just fully believes in next steps and taking next steps. And we want to give you those next steps. If that's you and nobody looking around except for the people that just raised their hand and the people that are watching online right now, if you could just look up at the screen for me, we've got a number that we want you to text. Text DC1 to 31996. All right, and we're just going to follow up with you. We're not going to blow your phone up, but we do want to give you some next steps. We want to tell you about baptism and small groups and community and how you can get going and moving and be faithful with the field that God has given you. So if you don't mind, please text that number for us. And for everybody else that's in here today, if you'd be willing to raise your hand and say, Travis, I got some things in my life I need to be a little bit more faithful with, whether that's a family, whether that's finances, whether that's the promise that God's put on your heart, or maybe a dream has died. If that was you, raise your hand so I can pray for you. Come on, all over this room. I love the boldness of our church. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your anointing that covers us, that protects us, God, and it gives us power, Jesus. Father, let us be like David, God, not wanting a name for ourselves, even though you've made us sons and daughters, even though you've made us kings and queens, Jesus. God, we're going to be faithful with the field that you've given us, God. We're going to be faithful with our schools. We're going to be faithful with the finances we have. We're going to be faithful with everything that we've been given, Jesus, God, because you have given us so much, God, especially your life, God. We love you so much. We praise you. And if you love Jesus today, won't you shout amen?
Amen.